Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to your place. Tonight, we're going to be working on a building, and we're going to hear from our very own Wild Bill. Wild Bill used two different types of songs to start the show, and we hope that you enjoy them. He is going to bring us a lesson based off a sermon he preached not long ago. As you can guess, it has to do with working on a building. We understand that the building foundation is not only supplied, but is true, so that what is added will be jointly fit together to the master's plans. We understand that we are the building, and that our work will be judged to measure up to the books that will be open to see if we measure up to the specs. It should be clear that our materials list and building materials need to come from the Bible. Here is some foundation. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name and many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And now let's have a listen.
Well, hello, Starla. Hello, Blog Talk Mom and everyone out there in Blog Talk Radio land. We want to thank you for being with us tonight. I have not done a live Blog Talk show or pre-record a live Blog Talk show in a long time. And it's one of those things that it is, you would think it would be very simple to do. You're sitting in front of a computer, you got your notes and things that you want to share with people, but the fact that there is no feedback from other people, and I'm not talking about just emotional feedback, but when you're in a house of praise and worship and with people of God that are full of the Holy Ghost, there's a spiritual thing that's going on, where the word of God's going forth and there's an anointing that comes and it breaks the yoke. And I'm not saying that you can't get anointed when you're doing Blog Talk Radio or live radio show or pre-recorded radio shows. I'm not saying that because I've seen that happen before. But it's totally different when you're sitting here and doing this, and it's not an easy different to do. And I just want all you guys to know, we take this Blog Talk Radio show very serious. I mean, this is one of those things, especially right now, we are living in a time where if anything that I have read of history doesn't compare. Anything that I have seen in my lifetime, it doesn't compare to all the things that are going on right now. We have COVID-19, and all these people have their own thought process that if is it real or is it not real. We've had other people die more from this than what's happened from this, and we're closing churches and they're doing live streams, and yet there's still, you know, liquor stores and liquor establishments that's still left open in some places, and so there's this weighing back and forth that people are, it's like everything that I've ever heard in my life, and it goes to the Word of God. Everybody thinks they're right in their own eye when they're looking at all these issues. They're thinking that their freedoms are being taken away because they're being forced to wear a mask instead of looking at it that right or wrong, because we're getting two different sets of information that does it help or does it not help. What does it hurt for us to obey? And if you really look at the scriptures, it makes it very clear that we are to obey the laws of our land, and we are to pray for those that are political leaders. And that doesn't mean that you have to like them. I make jokes all the time about a certain person in politics from California, and I call him the Wicked Witch of the West, because it seems like there's nothing but evil that seems to flow from the words that they say. And when anything positive comes out, they seem to put a negative twist to it. But I'm seeing people that are doing the same thing, and I was like, Lord, has there ever been anything that there's been so much difference of opinion that causes people to be torn in so many different directions? And then it just clicked in my mind all of a sudden, yes, the Word of God, the Bible. When you get to people that are sitting there and they're looking at the Word of God and they're saying, okay, you got one preacher getting up here and they talk about all the wealth and prosperity and the better things of life that you're to have, and that seems to be their message all the time. And when you look at what the Bible talks about, what the Bible has given us to do, that doesn't really fit the big picture. And there's so many things that we look at small. We want to focus in like a laser beam shining on something and focus on that one point, and yet we're missing a huge picture. There might be something really ugly in one small space, but you might expand it, and you might see that there's a beautiful sunset or sunrise or a mountain scene or something with water or something with animals in it, just something that would be more beautiful to look at if you look big picture. But we all have a tendency to want to look at certain points at certain times, and I think it's because we're small-minded. Now, when I say that, I'm speaking about me, but I really think that that fits from all the things that I read, everybody. And I make jokes, and I post on my Facebook page some of the things that are going on around the world right now, because I really believe if you can't laugh at it and you keep things just as serious as they are, I think heart attack rates and mental illness is probably going to be on the rise. Probably drug addiction is going. Matter of fact, my pastor read a thing at church just last week. It showed that during this coronavirus that there's more people that have died from prescription medications that are taking the opioids that have died from that than what they have from the coronavirus. You know, people are looking for a way of escape, and they don't realize when you look at the Bible, that's actually what it is. It's a roadmap that tells us about the relationship from the beginning and all the ways what it's going to be to the book of Revelation to let us know things future, of the relationship God wants to have with people. And then, unfortunately, it tells about the relationship that people have with God. Now, I can't see where God's ever failed or not followed through on anything that he said he would do. But when you look at man, you cannot say that. You see men to where they want to do things their own way. All of a sudden, you know, in the Garden of Eden, they wanted to be like God. And Eve tried first, and her husband, he sat right there and watched her, and he saw that it looked like that might be pretty good. You know, she might have had some saliva coming out. She might have like, mmm. I don't know what happened when she was there. But he wanted to see. He's like, it looked good. She didn't fall over dead. You know, maybe, you know, God didn't really mean what he said on this right here, and so I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to do this too. And then we have all been of the curse of the sin of the Garden of Eden all the way through. But I think sometimes, and I had this song at the beginning of this, I know I'm kind of jumping from thing to thing here, trying to get down to something I want to share, but we understand that there's working on a building. It's one of those things, and I'm so thankful that I'm still in process. It's so easy sometimes for me to, when things don't go the way I want it to go, maybe I'm praying for healing for somebody, or maybe healing for myself, or praying for someone to be saved, or for more souls to come into church, or to be a witness to God, or just whatever it is. And sometimes it just don't seem like there's an answer. And I don't know sometimes if it's Satan that just wants to put condemnation on us. And he's sitting there and he starts like, oh, look at your life. This is what you did over here. You know, this is what you're doing there. I really think that really this is mostly the Holy Ghost and conscience, that we all seek to have a good conscience towards the things of God or towards God. And so in that process, most of the time, Satan is not going to tell you that you've done something wrong that might lead you to doing it right. If something tells you, like, maybe you need not to go to this place anymore, that's probably not going to be Satan that's telling you that. If it's some place that you really like to go or you have fun at, it's probably God trying to speak things to your heart. And he doesn't speak to us through condemnation. In love, he tells us to consecrate ourselves to our lives. And he does those things to make it easier for us. You don't go out there and try to frame a house and you don't have a hammer. You're trying to drive nails in with a screwdriver or a pair of wire pliers or something. God wants to equip us with things that help. And you're not going to go out someplace where it's 120 degrees, which it seems like that's everywhere right now. It feels like it anyway. And you're not going to go out there and have 9 layers of clothing on. You're not going to wear your winter parka and put on your mittens and have gloves over the top of that and, you know, wear your face covering and all the things that they wear when they're out like in the Arctic and things. That's stupid, right? And so God understands that we can't see and understand the things that he sees and understands. And so he tries to give us examples of things that we can understand. And so as I was sitting there, and I shared this with my church, and I know I shared some of this with you even on the Blog Talk show before in Black with Blog Talk Mom, I was so amazed that after all the times that I have read about the foundation that we're to be built on, and you can read about that in Ephesians 2, 20 and 21, and it says, "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord." And for years, I had always thought the cornerstone was something that sit at the corner, and that it was used to be measured off of, and everything aligned with, and all these things. But when I found out that that actually was something that sat upon the top of two walls together, it's one thing to have something at a corner to work from, but when you have two walls, think about that. Just get a vision in your mind. You got two walls, and everything else is coming completely off of that, and those two walls are held together by Jesus. And you can look at, what are those two walls? Well, it lists here as talking about prophets and apostles. Well, where do you read about the prophets, mostly in the Bible, except for in the book of Revelation? Prophets are Old Testament. They were speaking of things to come in regard to plan of salvation, in regard to how things were going to change, as far as sometimes it was where people had done wrong and God was letting them know there was going to be a punishment for actions that were done. And a lot of people don't like that word, you know, accountability. And I have sort of got the name of being the accountability preacher. And in some ways that bothers me, because I don't want it to be something to where people constantly feel like they're being condemned or they're constantly feeling like they're being judged. But I also want to take it as a badge of honor to understand that it's part of who we are to be in ministry, to give people reproof and instruction. And if they don't do these things, God's established us through his word to do this, to bring them doctrine, to understand that there is a pattern that everyone has to line up to. And when you think about, we are built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, that's Old Testament and New Testament, and the New Testament plan of salvation, the New Covenant plan, was what? It's for everybody. It's not for rich, it's not for poor, it's not for black, it's not for white, it's not for the Jews only, it's not for anything that could cause a separation between you and God. You don't have an excuse. You can't say it's racism, because it's for whosoever will. But yet, in that same concept of building, you have to stop and ask yourself, what are you building off of and what are you building with? I used this little funny thing, playing off the three little pigs at church, and I was like the three little fat apostles. And, you know, one of them built his house, you know, with stick, and one of them built his house, you know, with brick, and one of them built his house with straw. And we all know the story of the big bad wolf, and I was like, that, here comes Satan, and he blows on this, and it falls flat. And we know the story about the foolish man and the wise man who built their house. One built his house upon the stone of a firm foundation, and the other one built his on the sand, which is always shifting and sinking. And we understand that the one on the sand, when the storms came in and everything, it fell flat, and great was the fall of it. So you don't want to be building on sand, but there again, you don't want to be building just anything on your firm foundation. You want to make sure that the building blocks of what it is that you're putting together that's jointly fit, remember, jointly fit together. It's not going to be one of those things that's going to be ragtag and it's going to look like, you know, something that's put together by 25 different people with no pattern, no structure, and everything is there. When you look at the tabernacle plan that Jesus gave, to the garments that the priests had to wear, it was detailed how it was to be done. When you look at the ark, what Noah had to build, I don't know how they understood all these things back then compared to where this day and time where we got lasers and all kinds of ways to measure something that long. You know, he didn't have no, you know, Stanley measuring tape he'd roll out there, and he didn't have no laser thing he could shine off there to get distance from one place to another. But yet God, when he tells us to do something, if we stay in his word and we are obedient to it, God always supplies us with what we need to make these things happen. And so in looking at what we're building, to understand that it's a building is to be pleasing to God, it's supposed to be part of what it is to be joined with him. The jointly fitted is not just a building that's us separate from God, but it's a jointly builded with us understanding that we are built with the Holy Ghost inside, God inside of us, to give us strength, to give us power. We so much read about Holy Ghost, and everybody wants to talk about speaking in tongues. When you get the Holy Ghost, now listen to me close here. On the day of Pentecost, when they got it, there was tongues. Did Jesus tell them to go to Jerusalem and stay there until they were empowered with being able to speak in another tongue? It's not there. He told them to go there until they were endued with power. Now, power is one of those things that we sometimes seem to walk around defeated, and we sit there and we see all the struggles and things that we go through, and many times we lean on our own flesh instead of lean upon God. And so when you get to leaning upon your own flesh and your own understanding, you're limited on what power you have to apply to the situation. And most of the times it's zero. Your power meter is zero. You can't do anything about it. But the power of the Holy Ghost, when you understand that power of God working inside of us to come out and equips us and leads and guides us into all truth, it gives us powers to be an overcomer and to be more than a conqueror. Think about that. More, I mean, you can conquer somebody, but it's like, No, you didn't just conquer them. You sit there and you slaughtered them. You wiped them out. You exterminated. You're victorious when you're going through this. But see, we don't want to look at when things are tough in my life, but this is part of my victory. This is part of my process, what I have to go through to be what God wants me to be. And so many times people get into these little habits. And so you may look at a house and it may look beautiful on the outside. And you open the door, walk inside, and it's like a Hollywood, there's nothing there. There's just an outside wall that you can sit there and look at the backside of that's not even finished, because all your efforts goes to looking at what you can do in your flesh to take care of the things from the outside. And that's good, because if things of God are working within you on the inside, it should manifest itself on the outside. Right? There's going to be some change. God didn't go and find the lost sheep and then leave it where he found it. He brought it back into the fold. He made sure that it had good water to drink from and still waters, and he made sure that there was good grass and things for eat, and there was protections that were put in place where he would put you inside and protect you at night, and he was the door. Nothing could get to you unless it comes through the door. That's protection. But we sometimes just get so wrapped up on things of the outside that we forget the importance of things on the inside, and God lets us know that that's desolate. That's going back to the things of law. That is not, because those people back there, they didn't have the Holy Ghost, and they would struggle. And it seemed like if you broke one law, you broke 10 laws. And it was one of those things that it would escalate, and it grew, and there was no end in sight to being able to ever do those things that they were told to do. Within your flesh, you can't do these things. And you read all through the Bible where people tried and failed. They tried and failed. And then you can read where people just gave up and didn't even try. They just went and did their own way. And there again, there comes that accountability, responsibility for actions. So you can look at it that there's people that they just do on the outside. And then there's some that you walk in and they have this beautiful living room laid out with awesome looking furniture. It looks so comfortable. Everything's so clean, and it smells so good in that room. It's like a formal living room in someone's home. It's just, you keep everything to the best of what you have in that room. But then if you walk out of that room, the rest of the house could be all piled up and junky, and you know, there could be, you know, what's that, a smell, you know, it's just like, oh, this is awful, you know, it's just like, you know, man, do they got 100 cats living in here or what? And sometimes when it comes to living for God, we do that same thing. We'll put up a front even on the inside of our heart, but yet we block off other things that we don't totally commit to God. And so it can shine some on the outside, and it can shine in that one room on the inside. But you're not complete when you're like that. There's some people that even go to the point of having, I mean, they've in certain things, they are so much into following Scripture and letting God speak to their heart and guiding them to do things. And preachers can preach about things. It may be something about a holiness standard. It may be something talked about modesty, holiness, you know, being clean, you know, being a witness, all these things. And so they have their whole house. It looks really good. Man, the beds are all made. The bathrooms are clean. You know, but then you kind of smell something. Don't smell very good. Where is this? And you go over and you come up on a closet. And in this closet, you can tell there's an aroma coming from there that's not pleasing. We're like, oh, Lord, you don't need to worry about that. I got this all under control. Yeah, just keep looking at all the thing that's going on in the rest of the houses here. But stay away from my closet. You know, it's really none of your business, Lord, because I've got everything. My house is built on the outside. It's built on the foundation it's supposed to be. And I've taken building blocks and things that are there that you want us to use from your word and to being the witness we're supposed to be and having our life changed and not being who we were before, you know, not being the old man, but becoming the new man and putting note, you know, all things have become new except for that closet, Lord. You need to just stay away from there. Yeah, I know it's got a little bit, but we can put some air freshener. We just kind of spray a little bit over in here. You know, maybe I'm going to sing a God, you know, God's foot stomping song, you know, praise God, you know, God in the song. Put a little aroma up there, to try to cover things up. You know, maybe I might just jump up and down a little bit or play a rub board or holler amen, you know, during a message or something like that. But you still got this closet over here that's not right. When you look at the Word of God, it is so important that we understand that it all is a word that is required of us to give of our all. Because God gave of His all. When He made that plan of salvation in the beginning, when they first ate of the fruit, the first thing had to be hit, the plants could not be a covering. Why? Because there was no blood that was shed. And so animals had to give up their life for there to be a covering. Even though it was a covering of animal skins on the outside, it was a covering of blood that took that sin away, that so God would be, it didn't take it away, it was a covering, so that God could sit there and look at man without just being repulsed by the smell and the darkness and the stench of sin that just comes along with that. Because see, that's what we carry when we try to do things our own way, when we try to just halfway go through the motions with some things. And I'm telling you that living for God can become a habit. Yes, sir. And you can want to brag about that. Man, come Sunday morning, I am up. I got my little songs that I listen to, and I got my prayers that I pray while I'm getting ready for church, and I'm praying for different people, my family and everything. And then you come to church, and God wants a living sacrifice, and you come in, and if you're not part of the music program, then, you know, you don't do anything more than just what you have to. You've not come in with thanksgiving in your heart and a praise and a thankfulness for the things that God has done. You've come, but you've not really come to add to anything. But all of a sudden, man, if somebody else is a catalyst and I feel the Holy Ghost moving, I get a splash over blessing. Woo-hoo-hoo! Yay! Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus! It's become a habit. Let's say it's time to pray, and you might have this same prayer that you pray every time. Lord, I thank you for all that you've done for me. Lord, I love you. Lord, I thank you, Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for saving me. And I thank you, Lord, that you made a way when it seemed like there was no way. And whatever it is that you say, you can just kind of go through the motions of prayer and not really be thinking about who you're talking to and have a heart like, this is personal. This is me crying out to God. This is me speaking to him, acknowledging him. Because we sit there and act like God doesn't exist, like maybe he's still in the tomb or something. So I don't see him. I can feel a flowing of the Spirit of God moving through a service. I can feel anointing sometimes, and I can have anointing break things that bind us. But where is an active faith when we're coming to church, of an expectation where he tells us not to leave the same way we come in? And, you know, we think, well, I'll just go out a different door. Now, I came in the front door, so I'm going to go out the side door. That's not what he's talking about. When we come into his presence with thanksgiving, when we actually have communication with God, when we sing praises unto God from our heart and from our mind, not just from our mind, when we're understanding and we're feeling the love of God and the joy of the Lord, and we're feeling strength that comes from the joy of the Lord, that's being where you're applying those things into your building. It's where you have building blocks that are there, but even if you don't have an agenda printed out at your church, you'll go in, someone will stand up, praise the Lord, everybody, how y'all doing today? Glad y'all here. You glad I'm here? Everybody, we want you to let you know that we're going to have this on this date and this and that on that date, so we're going to have a dinner here, and we hope you can all come to that, and we got a fundraising project going on. And all right, and everybody, let's just praise the Lord, and we're going to turn everything over to our song leader. And the song leader, he sings two songs, and if the Lord gets to move a little bit, he may actually sing an extra verse a couple of times and may actually sing the chorus two or three times to let people respond however they will or they won't to what God is trying to do in the service. And then what happens? They get up, they would do prayer requests. Everybody tells the same, you know, and that's so funny. I remember there's people, I've said this before, where you get up and it's like, pray for my children, my grandchildren, and remember my wife, and pray for my healing, and, you know, pray for our finances, and just whatever it is that you say. But are you saying those with, as you've seen it in your mind, that you are actually laying those on the altar for God to come in and consume it up in his power and act on it? Or are we just feeling like this is something where I got a place I can talk? This is where I can be seen. How much of these things do you ask other people to pray about? Do you pray about? That's a good way to look at it. How many days of the week is it so important to you that before you verbalize it and share it with your brothers and sisters in church, do you pray about it? Do you even think about it? Oh, it's time for prayer requests. Oh, man, that reminds me. Man, you know, Brother so-and-so preaching down in Mississippi, they got the COVID virus going for their family and everything, and remember them in prayer. And, you know, so-and-so, a preacher over the missionary, he's got cancer, and, you know, all of a sudden all these things come in. And if you're not careful, it almost becomes like a negative testimony in the way we say these things, because we don't say it in faith. We say it as like, this is just another one of those things that I don't know how to deal with. And I'm not saying you shouldn't give prayer requests. Please, please, please. You know, you may be in a place of weakness in your life to where you can't feel like you can get a hold of God on this, and you understand that you're struggling. There's times where we struggle. All of us struggle. And during those, I'm not saying that you don't call out for help. Hey, you know, somebody help me on this here. Here's a need that was brought to my attention. Because I believe that the more we share prayer requests with other people, they join in prayer with us. The Bible lets us know that even if two or three come together in his name, that he's in the midst. Just two or three. And so imagine if he says a one can take and send 1,000 demons to flight, and two can put 10,000 demons to flight, and all of a sudden, we got churches all across the country praying for this same need. Now, I'm not saying pray that you put these two little hand things up here holding together like the little prayer symbol, and that's what you do. You'll pray about that. Okay, little hand, little hand, little hand, slipper, you know, three times, yeah, praying for you. That's not prayer. And so I was looking for some scriptures that we could use as building blocks and decorating blocks and everything to put in the work of what we are to build. And I know I have a lot of scripture right here, but if you will, go to Romans 12:1, because, and I know that there are tons of scriptures that can speak to these things that I'm sure Blog Talk Mom can probably come up here in a certain chapter in Psalms. She could probably come up with several different things we could use for building blocks. But I had a few here that God just really spoke to my heart, because I think they're things that are really easy to understand. Romans 12 and 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, we don't like the idea of anything having to do with us being sacrificed. And I already shared before about the thing about a living. We shouldn't come in there like, you know, hey, you know, knock me off my pew, you know, come up with a song that's just really anointed us. And we should come in with an expectation of things that God is going to do. But a living sacrifice. And not just that, but it's to be holy, acceptable unto God. And he says, which is your reasonable service. He's letting us know that this is not something extraordinary that I'm asking you to do here. This is just reasonable. You know, when you look at all the things that have to do with relationship with God and building a building and something that's pleasing to God, we're just starting off with reasonable service. And then it goes, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Good, acceptable, perfect, and his will of God. Not our will, his will for what he wants in our building. He has a specific plan that if we put those things in and we build on building blocks like this in our life, that it's going to be a strong block, that when the enemy comes, we're not just on a good foundation. We got a building going here that he's not going to be able to do anything with, but maybe shake it a little bit, blow some dust off of it. It's going to be secure to our foundation when we take these kind of building blocks and we put them in. Verse 3, for I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly, well, I think I'm a pretty cool dude, you know, I'm a cool cat, I'm the cat's meow, you know, what do you mean, not more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. See how God took something here and we're thinking about thinking of ourselves, and then looking, putting ourselves like on a pedestal, but then he brings in faith into this. Well, my faith is not in me. My faith is in God. My faith is not in my power, but that the power that is greater that's in me than he that's in the world. That understanding that being separate, not being transformed, you know, to the things of this world, or conformed to the things of the world, but being transformed, is a process. God starts working in our buildings with us, and he's supplying things that we need as we go through his word, but it's a process. Transformation is taking place when we allow these things to happen. And God wants us to know, I want you to come to me as you are, but I don't want you to stay as you are. He wants you, all things, old things pass away, all things become new. Verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. See, he wants us to understand that this is not a separation thing with God's people, and we understood we can't have separation between us and God, because that's what sin did. We got to have that connection to God, that flowing of his spirit, that renewing in our mind is through the word of God and the Holy Ghost. It's not through I Love Lucy or Bonanza. It's not through this news of the world right now that's going up here, gloom and doom and hate and despair and all those things. I can't renew my mind to where it's the perfect will of God and it's pleasing to him if I'm using the things that come into me, that I let those things be a distraction from the things of God. I've lost my connection to the flow of the things that's geared pure, righteous, and holy when I'm sitting there and all my time is spent in other things. Because, see, if we're all joined together, then if we're not staying joined together onto the things of God, it's kind of like being in the military AWOL, absent without leave. We're kind of leaving it to somebody else to do our work. We're coming in and expecting somebody else to do everything, and we're just going to sit there and get what we can get. And that's not what it's all about. We got to understand that when we do, it affects not just ourselves, It affects our church family, our physical family. Guess what? It can even affect things that are going on around the world. Because God has a plan that's much bigger than anything we can even see or comprehend. And so when we get to thinking, I'm just separate, I'm my own little island under here, and sometimes Satan will try to make you feel that defeated thing where I'm all alone and nobody understands me and nobody cares. No. God wants you to not keep those things to yourself. We got to come to Him and place those things on our altar. Let Him do that transformation in our mind. Having then gifts differing to the grace that is given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. We're getting building blocks here. It's one of those things you don't have to say, well, Brother Bill said this, or Starla said that, or Blog Talk Mom said this, or Billy Graham said that. You can go to the Word of God, and these building blocks are here to understand that there's going to be different callings and different things of people in life. We're still jointly fit together. All these things will work together for the good. And it's one of those things that's so funny. If you want to see if you really have a problem with that, let somebody new come into a church that has some of the same skill set that you have of things that you do in your church, and all of a sudden they start being used on different days and different nights of services instead of you. Do you ever feel jealous? Come on now, be honest with yourself. I mean, I know that when I come into church, I have my place I sit every Sunday. Every service, I got my pew, my corner of it where I sit. I got my rub board sitting up here on the pew in front of me, and, you know, so, you know, if there's a place for it to use and worship it, I got it there, and this is my place. And I'm not going to lie, sometimes I find myself having a problem if we have a guest speaker that him and his wife and family decided they're going to take over my pew. But seeing, realizing these things, it's one of those things we understand. We got some building blocks that don't go. It's not going to be jointly fit together with things for the kingdom, and we need to push those things out. But there again, we are flesh, and these are things that we have to work with. Verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Some of these things that's real important, like what I was talking about, you need to be able to identify what's evil and to identify what's good. So how do you do that? You go to the Word of God. You grab these building blocks. You sit there and you apply those to your building. If it's a fine crafted piece of cabinetry or trim or something like that, that God's got for you, you can find it in His Word. We got the foundation there that's really good. See, how would it be if you were sitting there and you said, hey man, I got this house. Woohoo! Want you to come see this house I'm building. And they come up there and all that's there is your foundation. You got the foundation of the prophets and the apostles, and you got Jesus being the chief cornerstone, holding the two walls of those things together. And like, woohoo, yeah, looky here what I got. They would look at you like you were an idiot. But how many times do we want to take the things that God has done, the things that are supplied that we really had nothing to do with? It's by the grace and mercies of God, and because He has a specific plan that these things are there for us to build onto and to use, and we want to act like we've really done something. It makes me get humble when I stop and think about all that God has given us to work with in advance with His plan, that not just that He had to become the sacrifice for us, but the fact that He willingly became our sacrifice. He despised the shame, but He willingly, because there was no power on earth that could have taken His life if He didn't want to give it. Nothing. The Bible tells us He could have called 10,000 angels to come. And there was angels, I'm sure, that was watching over Him. And there was an anointing that was there as all heaven watched and was trying to figure out why in the world would God come and submit Himself to becoming flesh to deal with becoming a sacrifice to fallen man. He could have just started all over again. But yet, He loved us. And that's a love that goes beyond anything that I can materialize within myself. no matter how affectionate I feel like I am towards others and how much emotion I can give to other people or myself and to do things of myself for them, it's nowhere close to the love that God talks about what he has for us. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business. What? You mean I can't go out there and try to get by with doing the least I have to do to get paid? Not slothful in business. Well, I got to pay my bills. I can't just go out there and buy a bunch of stuff and then just not pay for it. I can't borrow money from friends and not ever plan on paying them back. Verse 11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Man, how many times have you sit there and you tried to figure out how to work out things on your own when instead of just being instant in prayer to go to God? Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. I have so many problems with my life on this right here with this building block, trying to get it fit in there sometimes, that it's just, I don't even want to go there. Because hospitality is one of those things of like, you entertain people. You give of yourself to make it where they want to be there. It's not something, you talk about reasonable sacrifice, this is where you got to, even if you got limited time of yourself to do the things you need to do, where you're willing to give that time to hospitality to others, to necessity of other people. Bless them which persecute you. Man, this is a building block here. You talk about something that anchors in and ties you in firmly to the foundation of God. When you learn to bless those that persecute you, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. How many times have you tried to put your hand to situations, try to rationalize it and figure it out, and what you've done is you have actually cursed a situation that if you'd left it in God's hands and waited on him, that it would have been a blessing. But we don't see it that way. We see, oh, I got to do something. What do I got to do? I don't know what to do. What do I do? Lord, what do you want me to do? Tell me, tell me, tell me, tell me. And instead of waiting for an answer, we jump right in and we curse that situation. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. And I was sharing this at church the other day. There's times when you hear a mother get up, and she's got a prayer request for a grandson or a son that's lost. They're lost. They've wandered away from all the things of God that's there, and you don't know what it's going to take to turn your life around. And so you're with a heart that's crying out in earnest to an almighty God who loves us and to a congregation that we're supposed to be jointly fit with. And you feel that emotion of that mother where she's sitting there and saying, pray for my son. Pray that God brings him back. God sends people to go out there and speak to him that he'll respond to. And you pray those things, and I was sharing with them, if you ever have any doubts, because I've heard it many times, and I've probably said it myself, you know, I don't know how, you know, I know they got free will, but pray for them anyway, and you know that, you know, God to take care of them in their situations and bring them back in, and you know, I know that they got addictions in their life, and I know that they got this free will, and they're just all out to nothing of God. They even speak against the things of God that they knew as a child. And you're sitting there like, I don't know what it's going to take for these things to happen. And I was sharing with them if there was ever a testimony of someone that was running from God. And it seemed like everywhere I turned, I kept running into him. Either just a feeling of his spirit to let me know that maybe I might need to slow down before I went around this curve. And then I could see how God saved me from being involved in a horrible accident that could have taken my life. Or where I was sitting as a policeman in a car, and I was looking as my lights were shining down into the car in front of me, and I was checking information on the radio to see if this man was wanted anywhere. And, it, you know, if he had any citations that were not paid for, warrants, just whatever. And I kept seeing this person digging up under the seat of their car. And I kept digging up under the seat of their car. And so after it all came well and done, you know, the whole thing where the person had a driver's license that was dated that day and where I thought it might be not, just had not been put in the computers yet to where he had a suspended license, come to find out that his license wasn't just suspended. Him and some other guys had broke into a place where they make driver's license and made fake driver's licenses for themselves. And in that process of that digging around he was doing in his car, he had a gun that was up under the seat of that car. And he was trying to pull it out, but he had wrapped the straps of the shoulder holster around that gun, and the straps got hung on those springs in the bottom of the seat, and he couldn't get it out. And I knew that it was God. I knew that it was a praying mom. It was praying. And so if we can, as a group, tie into these things, if you get your emotion involved in your prayer, and we tie that together in an earnestness before God, he lets us know that he thinks so much about that he takes our tears and he keeps them. When we can tie in together on these things, it's building blocks for what we are building that's going to make us the building that God wants us to be. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. I love this scripture because it tells you right off that God understands who we are. When he says, if it be possible, you know, I know who you are. I know that there's something in you, that there's certain buttons that's pushed that you may not be able to overcome where you are right now. The anger that's going to come up, you're feeling that you need to respond. But he said, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Man, there's so much could be said on that, but just these are building blocks. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And I've shared this before with a lot of people. I had a boss that cost me hundreds of thousands of dollars in medical care and things from where I got injured at work. And he was fixing to go on vacation. And I knew he was about to leave. And this man, I knew all the things he had done, the lies he had told, and the things he misrepresented to try to make himself look good and tear me down. And so before he left on that trip, I ordered pizza for everybody in the office to eat. And I let him know that I was going to do it that day because I knew he was going to be gone the next day. So I wanted him to know that I did this on purpose so he could be a part of it. And then before he left, I went and I hugged his neck. And I told him I was sorry for anything that I may have did to cause him problems in his situation with his job. And you could see now all of a sudden the peace of God that came between me and him and that. But also, I can't lie, so that it didn't make you feel a little bit, know that God was heaping coals of fire on his head because he knew all those things. I didn't have to tell him. I didn't have to shove it in his face. He knew what he had done to me. It's the same way with all of us when we're not doing right. We know. Verse 21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Building blocks. You can go to James chapter 4, verse 1. From whence come wars and fighting among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? See, we need to look and make sure when we're looking at building blocks and we're picking things to use that we make sure that there's things that we don't use. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because you ask not. So many things, so many times I try to do it in my own way. And I make probably mountains out of molehills and things that I shouldn't do. Because you go to this next verse here. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, and you may consume it upon your lust. See, there are some things we don't realize sometimes that the reason that God says no is because we're asking for things we shouldn't have. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, Know ye not the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Friendship of the world. So we already know that the carnal mind is enmity with the world, with God. But here we find friendship of the world. Is that kind of like you can't serve two masters? You can't have both, what, cursings and blessings? Whosoever therefore would be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Building blocks. Do you think the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. When you get to looking and judging for things that are building blocks, these are things that you have to look at. Isaiah 6:1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. You don't have to pay attention to me. You have to understand we all have a ministry of some sort, either within our church, within our family. Our life is a living witness of God's word. That changing is taking place. It's not one of those things. I tell people all the time, if you really want to know, really, really want to know how a person is doing in their walk with God, ask her children. Ask her spouse. Look at the things that you see that are going on in your home. It's plain to see. Look at the fruit that comes forth. Look when they build their building. Is their walls straight in front? Are they continuing to build? Do they sit there and they start working on something and they just leave it never finished? It's an unfinished work. And God is sitting here with all the things that want to go into that building, and we're too busy shopping over here in the devil's Home Depot section of all the things where we want to entertain things that are not of God, but entertain things of spirits of the world, which means we're still going back to the old man instead of the new man. I'm going to finish up here. 1 Peter 2:1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house. Woo! A spiritual house. And holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. You got to work on this building. You got to continue to stay connected to the things of God. You got to be connected to His Word, because all the things that we need to see to stay away from that don't need to be a part of our building, it don't need to be in that closet shoved away back in there in the corner or something like that. You can sit there and go through God's Word, and it's clear as day if you're really giving God your all. But if you're not really giving God your all, then let's call it like it is. And understand who we are. Because see, in that great day that is to come, that great and terrible day, when Jesus comes back, the clock stops. There was an established set of time that God has given, and in that time the Holy Ghost is still available. The plan of salvation, of being able to go to an altar and repenting of our sin, and repenting of our sins is like, it's not my will, Lord, it's, I want your will for my life. It's where you're sitting there and you're taking all these things and you're not just telling God you're sorry, but you're turning away from those things. You're not doing those things anymore. To sit there and say you're sorry and keep doing those things is the same thing as me coming up and slapping you in the face and saying I'm sorry, and then I slap you in the face again. It's not one of those things where there's any change. There's no new man that's taking place or new woman that's taking place. We're staying attached to the things that are old. And so we have to understand that we have to have a real repentance. that only God can help us get into a place to where He pulls at our heartstrings to where we can truly repent. And sometimes that may mean tearing in an altar with what you have of emotion of things that you're sorry for until God brings that godly sorrow in to come with that and to where you're just so, I don't know how to put it into words, but there's just a feeling of clean when you get in there and there's a thing of true repentance. And it's not one of those things that you feel on a Sunday night and it's gone on a Sunday morning. It's one of those things that becomes part of who you are. Now then you understand that Jesus told him, he said, you're going to preach repentance and remission of sin. Not that repentance is remission of sin. And so where we find out in the book of Acts, remission of sin comes in. What? Acts 2:38, you hear that on this show a lot. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. See, we got our remission of sin right there. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's a gift. It's freely given unto you. So how did they get the Holy Ghost? We saw it first in the upper room. They were there. They were praying. All in one mind, one accord. The Holy Ghost came in as a rushing mighty wind. Cloven tongues of fire set upon each of them. And they spoke in another tongue. So many people get locked in on tongues. And they don't understand the different types of tongues and things like that. Which I know I have jumped on topic and off topic on so many times tonight. And my speech patterns were not the best. The only foreign language I took in school was English. But the reason we do this show is to try to highlight things that is helpful to people. If you can look at the world and you can see and take the emotion out of it of all the things that's happened. We got these earthquakes that's happening under the ocean. The weird weather patterns, the different changes of riptides and things in the ocean, is different times of year than what it usually happens. The facts that we got all this hate with Black Lives Matter, the political things that's actually making a stand and not making any bones about it against the things of God and the Word of God, the things to be a Christian, to live for God. There's a stand that's being made there. To understand that even dust storms that are happening in other continents are affecting the air quality here, the storm patterns that are changed, the incident that happened, I guess it was last month with the locust, the wars that are going on, the actual economical wars that are happening where we're actually going against China and other countries as far as the tariffs and things in this country. Those things you hear about in news, whether people making jokes about on Facebook, the whole things with the mask and all these things, it's out there for you. It's there for you to see. But what we are trying to do is let you know that there's a God that loves you, and He's not looking for you to mess up. He's on your side. He's not sitting there saying, oops, you did it wrong here, so I'm going to strike you with a lightning bolt and send you into hell. That's not what it's all about. And so if we can give you shows like The Pathway Home, and then shows like tonight to let you realize that in the Word of God that there's building blocks, and they're not really that hard. It's one of those things that you get to look and you see these things are doable. You understand that God's wanting to give you a power of the Holy Ghost so you can walk in victory and be an overcomer and win. You're a winner, you know, when you use the things of God. And it's a process. You don't just say, zap, you got a building built. It's, you're working on the building. As the song says at the beginning of this, you're taking what you have and you're letting God add to that. He's wanting you to come as you are, and yet He's wanting to help you become more, to become much more. He wants us to understand that there's difference in different types of prayers, and there's different things, not just with tongues, but there's different moves of the Spirit, there's fruits of the Spirit and gifts of the Spirit and the moving of the Spirit of God in church, and there's an anointing that comes that breaks the yoke, that tears everything, keeps you bound down and frustrated, and you feel like you can't get along. It's all part of a relationship with living with a God who loves you, who's on your side. Anything that He can do to help. And that's what we want to be with this show. We want to, if you know someone that's got a topic you think would be great for this show, to help make things easier for someone as they're trying to make their pathway home or make their pathway to Jesus, to help keep their vision focused on the things that are important, like the different kinds of prayer. You know, that's one of those things that there are different aspects to how we pray. And to understand that it's not just like putting something out in the wind and hoping. It's a hoping of faith. That faith is the substance of things hoped for. Those are the sort of things that we're wanting to help bring to your understanding, to understand that there is a beautiful, specific pattern that God has starting at January, starting at Genesis and goes all the way through to the book of Revelation. And then to understand that there's going to be a life after that we can't truly comprehend as spoke of in the book of Revelation, to where we're not going to need a sunshine anymore because the glory of God is going to be the light that's going to shine forth, that we're not going to see it. To understand that there is going to be a hell, and it's a terrible, horrible place, and we don't want anyone to go there. We want to show them the way of escape. This is a place where there's outer darkness, there's falling, you're burning forever, there's the torment to your body and to your mind. To understand that there's a gap between hell and heaven, and from hell you can look and you can see heaven. To understand that that's the torment that that's going to cause. Our goal here is to, if we just help one person, just one, it's worth it. Just one person. I don't wish hell on the worst enemy I've ever had in my life. I don't want anyone of any capacity that's ever done anything to me or my family this bad. Don't want them to go to hell. There's a plan that God has. He's on your side. And he wants you to know that it's because of love. He don't owe you anything. It's not an accountability on his part other than to be who he says he is. He will not deny himself. He's going to be faithful to his word, whether it's going to be as your savior, your redeemer, or it's going to be as your judge. And we want to be not a stumbling block, but a help to help people find that way. So, Starlin, I'll just go ahead and turn this back over to you.
Change my heart, oh. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. My heart, oh God, may I be like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and
Talk,
Mom.
I just pray right now, if that's okay. Lord, thank
fine.
You so much for this wonderful, wonderful message. I thank you so much for not throwing us away, dear God. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I love you. And Lord, for everyone that heard every scripture and this beautiful portrayal of your love and the direction that was given to us, Lord, I pray that your anointing would go forth throughout any type, archive, whatever, and draw us into your bosom, dear God. Draw us closer and closer for whatever we face. But Lord, no matter what, you are God, and you love us. And I feel a motion de la morien de la casi. Nie Dios hasta la corriente de motion, hasta la corriente de la maseria, si le cosae. Oro dia miel Dios hasta la corriente que así. Almighty God, Creator, giving us power to withstand anything. And let it be that building block that makes us what you designed us to be throughout all eternity, dear God. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We give you all honor, praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, thank you, Sister Starla and Wild Bill. This was just a masterpiece. And God just blessed, encouraged, strengthened me through every part of it. I loved it, and I love it, and I pray that others that are listening will hear the beautiful pathway that God is giving us through these scriptures, that he's on our side, he's with us through all of these things, and anything that happens is a building block for us to know him in a deeper, more intimate way, and to be able to portray him to others, and to be able to pick ourselves out of despair and despondency, and just walk in that trust that, oh, the Word of God gives us and builds within us. Oh, thank you. Thank you. And I, Sister Starla, I love y'all, and I do so appreciate it. And I will try to be quiet. Oh, yes. Oh.
Well, I think Blog Talk Mom was a little kind there on what she said about the points we were trying to bring, and I really appreciate that. It's sometimes I think I need to be less tired when I'm working on some of these things. I can hear where I'm struggling just to get words out, but the scriptures speak in themselves. I don't have to add. It's not what I have to say. It's what the Word of God has to say, and those are just small portions of the scriptures. And when we realize, when we totally submit to Him, we are a custom building. He's not going to make us have to be like, I mean, I'd hate to think that I had to be the same person that Blog Talk Mom is. I mean, you know, I think the reason God made for she likes to shop at Walmart is so that she can minister to all the people that's there. It's almost like Moses with the leading everybody out of Egypt. Blog Talk Mom's up here leading everybody out of Walmart, you know, into the promised land. And it's just, it's amazing the times I've been there. And some of the people you can see, they're damaged. They're hurt. There's addictions in their life. And she has such a gift to just look past that and just sees a lost soul that's hungry, someone that needs God. And it's just, it's so easy within ourselves not to recognize the things that God don't want to use. That's really scrap material that's maybe something to use for a burn pile or something to keep warm, and the things that He does want to use in our life. But that is part of being connected with God, where He identifies those things. And it's a process. You know, it's just the greatest thing that I have to say about my relationship with God is I'm thankful that He's not done with me yet, and He's not going to stop. He's going to finish the work that He started in my life if I stay connected to Him. And to realize the value, you know, I was trying to make a joke about that with the foundation. They're like, oh, come look at the, you know, that's all I got's the foundation, but come look at it. Isn't it beautiful? You know, but really it is beautiful. The things that God has fit together for us that we don't have to worry about. When I add on to that, is it going to be able to carry that weight? Is it going to be able to see me through? Is it going to be able to keep me safe? Is it going to be able to help me to be that overcomer, you know, to be victorious in my life? Is it a foundation that I can trust on that's going to be able to do those things? And the answer is yes, and more than we can even think about in our own little, and I got a wicked imagination, but to stop and think about that God's blessings for me are even better than what I could want for myself. And so, like Blog Talk Mom was sharing there, is sometimes you have to go through a heat process, and sometimes you got to have some rough ends ground off, and those things are not fun. And sometimes the answer is no from God on things because we're asking amiss, and sometimes the answer is no because we really haven't asked. We're just going through the motions and the things that we're doing for God. So, again, Blog Talk Mom, I thank you for, you know, taking the liberty to pray. And because this, we're living in a time, I think time is short. And even if it's not short, I mean, I've been hearing this ever since I was a little kid, and I'm 61 years old. I'm not going to live forever, you know, I'm 61 now, you know. So I should look at it in that perspective, is that I don't know if I'm going to be here when God comes back, but I need to be a vessel that can be used for His honor and His glory. And, man, what a privilege. What a privilege it is that God puts value on us, that He equips us to be able to do the things He wants us to do. So, again, Blog Talk Mom, thank you for the kind words. The check's in the mail.
Oh, that's so sweet of you. Oh, me. It wasn't because I love you and you are my son, and that thrilled me. But this message came from the throne. It is just beautiful. Thank you again.
Well, it's all to you, Starla. You can go ahead and preach sermon number two now.
Yeah, all right. Well, that was really good. And thank you for that beautiful prayer, Blog Talk Mom. That was awesome. God is...
The Holy Ghost was just so rich, isn't it? You can still feel that
wonderful presence of God. Thank you again so much, Sister Starlin, for what y'all do. This is very serious. I loved it. Oh, I have a whole page of notes. I was going to ask Wild Bill's permission. I may speak tomorrow night at a meeting, and I'm going to use this because it was so good. I won't do as well as he did, I'm sure, but the scriptures are just, you know, they speak so clearly of what, you know, the point that was being made. And, you know, just in the songs that y'all chose were just so beautiful. And, you know, how God changes us and, you know, into his image. He's changing us. And I remember the first couple of things he changed in me, I'm totally misunderstood. I just thought, wow, you know, this is really something. And then as I've lived years and years and worked in ministries, I realized, oh, what a tremendous miracle that night I walked out of that church service and those things that were so much a weight in my life were gone. He had changed them. I tell you, I'm going to hush because I could go on and on tonight. This was wonderful. So I look forward to next week, and I love you very much.
Well, we love you too so much. And, Bob Bill, we want to thank our listeners for being with us this week, and we pray that you were blessed listening to this and in the archives also. And we pray that you're staying well and safe and that you'll have a very blessed week. And we'll see you back here next week at your place. Good night.